This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be having our devotional thought, and we're going to have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team.
Plus, our healthy friends from the Good Food Kitchen are back to share a colorful recipe with us. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss a thing.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for choosing to join us this morning.
We are so excited to be here and we're so happy you're here and that we are all waking up with that hope that can only be found in Jesus. And so today, we're going to share that hope with you as we continue our program.
Exactly right. You know, it is our pleasure to be able to spend the morning with you, and we can't wait to share with you what we're going to be doing today. You know, are you looking for a delicious way to, sneak in some more veggies into your family's plate or into your family's diet? Well, we have a special surprise veggie recipe for you today from the Good Food Kitchen that will help you. You know, it's simple. That's good. Uh-huh. People like simple recipes.
Yep.
And it's delicious. Plus, we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who's going to share a devotional thought. And we're going to have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team. But first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On October 11, 2002, former President Jimmy Carter wins the Nobel Peace Prize for his decades of untiring effort to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. Peace! Who wouldn't love world peace? Yet, most of us have lived long enough to know that it's a seeming impossibility.
Unfortunately, that is true. There's just simply too much strife in this world and self-centeredness for the entire world to be in harmony. But all hope is not lost. We, you and I, can make a difference in our little world.
Amen.
You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." There's a special blessing awaiting those who strive to be peacemakers. You know, and that can be us. It can be us. It can be you. It can be I. Instead of choosing to retaliate, instead of choosing to, to argue or disagree, we can choose to make peace with others while not compromising our values. You and I can choose to love and put others first as we treat them with our kindness. You know, our untiring efforts at world peace and peace will pay off. And God promises that we will be blessed. You know, he can help us.
That's right. Amen. Well, we've promised you a colorful recipe, and here it is. It's a perfect recipe to help you sneak some of those additional veggies into your diet, and that's always a good thing. The Good Food Kitchen is sharing a delightful rainbow hummus recipe.
I'm going to show you now how to make a wonderful dipping platter with three different colored hummuses, rainbow hummus. So to start with, to make hummus, we want to use chickpeas. So we're going to put the equivalent of 2 cans of chickpeas in, and then we're going to put in 4 cloves of garlic. And one of the most important ingredients for hummus is lemon juice. So we're going to add at least 6 tablespoons of lemon juice. We're going to add 1 teaspoon of salt and tahini. And we're going to add 4 tablespoons. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can add some water. So around about 1/2 cup of water. Let's blend it. Great. So we've got this base hummus here, and we're going to turn it into 3 different colors. So we're going to tip out 2/3 and leave ourselves with 1/3. And the first hummus we're going to make, we're going to make a pumpkin hummus, butternut hummus. So I've pre-roasted some butternut pumpkin. We're just going to throw this in with that hummus that we've got there. And this will make hummus number 1. Add some cumin as well, just 1/2 teaspoon, just to give it a bit of a Middle Eastern flavour. Blend that up. you go. You may need to add some water just to make it the right consistency. We're just going to tip it into our bowls here. So here's the first hummus, the pumpkin hummus. So we're going to pour back in some of our original hummus and add some frozen peas. We're going to add some fresh parsley to help it become really nice and green. Give this a bit of a blend. So we'll put the green pea hummus in there. Look at that. And now we're going to make the red hummus. Put in some of our original hummus back in. And we're going to put some beetroot, just standard canned beetroot, into the mix. There we go, just drain that off into here. Put that in there with the hummus and blend it around. And you have a lovely, wonderful pink hummus. And now we're going to add other extra exciting things to the board. So we're going to start with some rice crackers, got some nice oat crackers. It's a combination of fruit and dipping things. And there you go, there's our rainbow hummus. We've got a pumpkin hummus, beetroot hummus, pea hummus, with a wonderful fruit platter with crackers and yummy things to snack on. Great for any party, great for Christmas, and a great healthy way to impress your friends.
Don't go anywhere, friends. When we return, we will have the Let's Pray team leading us in prayer. And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. And also check out our YouTube channel. Simply search Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. Right now, we have Doctor's Orders up next.
What would you like to drink, sir?
Coke, please.
And for you, ma'am?
Nothing, thank you.
Water, then?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, thank you, though.
What? No water? How do you swallow your food, then, without washing it down?
But if you wash it down, it slows digestion, because it dilutes the digestive juices.
Well, that might be good for me with my heartburn.
Actually, it might be worse, too.
What do you mean?
Well, if you drink with this meal, it slows digestion. Then when you go to bed, your stomach won't be empty. You lie down, and that food and acid can come up and into the back of your throat.
Ooh, the back of my throat, like one of those birds that feeds its young, pre-digested food?
Well, kind of, yes.
Ooh, yuck.
Yeah, yuck. So why don't you try eating without drinking?
But what do you do with really dry food, like bread? You just take tons of butter and put it on it?
No, all that fat will slow digestion also. See, if you're eating lots of fruit and vegetables, they contain plenty of water, and it's naturally mineralized and distilled, even better than drinking water with your meals.
But then I'll miss out on my ice.
Well, that's true, and ice slows digestion even further.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
No, you see, the stomach needs to warm it up before it can begin digestion.
Oh, well, I'll burp to that one then.
Oh, brother, I can't take you anywhere. Don't drink with your meals. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe that our program will make a difference in your life today.
Do you often find yourself too busy to stop and pray? Consider changing your thought to being too busy not to pray.
Yes.
You know, the great reformer Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Prayer is not simply a duty or an obligation. It's an incredible privilege to pour out our hearts to God and ask Him to walk with us throughout the day. And this morning, our praying friends from the Let's Pray team are back to lead us in a season of prayer.
Well, good morning to each and every one of you. I am so thrilled that you are waking up with hope. My name is Chris Holland, and I am one of the hosts of Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. I have the privilege of co-hosting this program with Season Cromwell. We are on air from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. You know, friends, I was thinking about something to share with you and to pray about, and one of the things that I thought about is, you know, in these times that are going on in the world, there's something for me that's really just one of the most important things, and that's family. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus was dying on the cross, you know, he could have been concerned about a huge number of things. But I want you to take note of one of the last things that Jesus said. It's there in John chapter 20 and verse 26. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," speaking of John, "standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." You see, Jesus was concerned with family. One of the last things he did was to take care and make sure that his mother was taken care of. And you know, family is so important to provide that support structure around us, to give us encouragement. Now, maybe there's somebody watching here this morning that is saying, "Yeah, but I don't have any family. My mother and father passed away a long time ago, or I was given up for adoption. I don't even know who my mom and dad are." Or maybe you have a strained relationship with your mother and father. Well, you know, the Bible gives us a wonderful promise, and there are two of them I'm going to share with you. The first is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. There in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, I want you to take note. The Apostle Paul writes these words, which are profound words, that speaking of Jesus, that he came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, friends, if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, or maybe your parents have passed away, Jesus wants to adopt you, that you would be his son, that you would be his daughter. And in fact, the promise is not just an if promise, but Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that you were created to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." You were made to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. You see, our earthly family is important. They provide that support structure. But even more important than our earthly family is our heavenly family, where we become a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, and he becomes our father, the perfect father that any of us could ever have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have offered adoption, that we might become a son or a daughter when we come to you. I pray, dear God, that our families would be blessed. I pray for all of the families represented on Wake Up With Hope right now, this morning, that each and every one of those families would be blessed, and that we would experience the blessing of family, whether we have a physical family or we just have our heavenly family. Whatever it may be, Lord, please bless the families. Please help us to experience the blessing of family. And Lord, help us to live life to its fullest in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends, I pray and I hope that each and every family is blessed. God bless each and every one of you. Back to you in the studio.
Amen. You know, we really appreciate our praying friends.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's almost time for us to be blessed by the Word of God through a devotional thought. After this short break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from God's Word. You know, Wake Up With Hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you have chosen Wake Up With Hope to start your day this morning, and we welcome you back.
You know, as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who's going to share this morning's devotional thought.
Perception is an interpretation of reality, and sometimes we have a faulty perception. We're not sure if something is good or bad. I remember when I was 12 years old, my father went to study to Andrews University, and my mother crocheted some things that I could sell in the village around the university. And I would go to every house, and sometimes somebody would buy one item or so, and my mother would wait outside in the car. But one time, this lady was very interested. She asked me to take everything out of the bag, and I did. And I still remember, the whole bag was $55, the total. And this is many, many years ago, when I was 12 years old, obviously. And this lady said, okay, I'll take it. And say, which one? And she goes, all of it. And I was like, you're going to take everything that is in my bag, all $55 worth? And she said, yes. And then she gave me a little paper called a check, which I was not too familiar with because in Argentina, we didn't use a lot of that. And so I was like, did I do good or not? I left everything in my bag and she gave me a piece of paper. So I ran out of the car to the car where my mother was. And I was like, and she goes, how'd it go? I said, I don't know. Do we take checks? And she goes, yes, we take checks. Why? I said, I sold everything. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I sold all $55, which was a lot of money for us. First, I was like, maybe this is bad news. She gave me a piece of paper. But then my mother said, oh, yeah, this is the same as money. And I was, we sold everything. I still remember she gave me a little commission. It was a big deal for us, those $55 so many years ago. Sometimes we're not sure. Is it good news or bad news? And God makes a point to guide us to the right understanding of things. And even when we don't fully understand, he still guides us because he's in control of situations. In this story, the disciples are very confused. They don't know if what has happened is bad news or good news. Actually, they think it's bad news. And Jesus will guide them, will meet them where they are, and will help them in this journey of perception. There is a lot of journeys in the Gospel of Luke, and they're not just geographical journeys. They're actually journeys of perception, usually in a greater understanding of the situation, sometimes from the head to the heart, which is the longest journey all of us have to go through. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died on Friday, and now this is Sunday. And he has risen from the dead, but the disciples don't know that. So two of the disciples are going to a village named Emmaus. Luke 24 on verse 13, it starts, behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached. Now, he has risen from the dead. They don't recognize him. And he said to them, verse 17, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And at that moment, they stood still, looking sad. I have a picture in my office here in our studios. It's a beautiful picture, and I want to show it to you. It's the road to Emmaus. It's Jesus walking with the two disciples, starting to explain that there is a different view of what they know. They think that he has died and that this is the end, but there's a different perspective. They think they have lost everything, but Jesus is going to tell them, I have gained everything for you. So let's keep reading. They stopped, and one of them named Cleopas, verse 18, says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and aware of the things which have happened here in these days? And Jesus answered in verse 19, what things? I always thought that this was Jesus' sense of humor. What things? Has something happened here this weekend, these last days? But then I realized that Jesus gave them an opportunity to give their version of the story, to tell him what they saw, their viewpoint. And so one of them, he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet. And then they said, and they crucified him. And we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. You know, I found several obstacles here in their mindset, in their perception. They have a limited perception. They're only calling Jesus a prophet, and Jesus was so much more than a prophet. They have this finality. They crucified him. This is the end. When Jesus had told them many times that he would rise from the dead, but they don't remember that. So limited perception, finality, the regret. We were hoping he would redeem Israel in verse 21. But he had redeemed the whole world and he was standing in front of them. But of course, they couldn't see that. And then lastly, their unbelief. They said to Jesus, verse 22, also some women among us amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. They had this unbelief. They were told that they'd seen angels and that Jesus was risen from the dead and they couldn't believe. So in their summary, it was, we lost everything. But Jesus says, wait a minute, let me explain this viewpoint. I always tell people that even when you don't understand God's hand, you got to trust his viewpoint, because there's another way to look at the situation. Sometimes we don't see it. And in this case, Jesus will explain it through the cross. He will say to them, no, I gained everything for you. And he guided them to a better understanding. Verse 25, same chapter. He said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? It was necessary. You couldn't see it, but look at it through the cross. This was a plan. It was necessary. And look what he did. This is what Jesus did. Beginning, verse 27, with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. He took the Old Testament, all the scriptures, started with Moses, which means that he started from Genesis. The first five books are called the books of Moses, the law or the Pentateuch, the Torah. And he went over everything and says, see, remember this? It was talking about me. Remember the Passover lamb? It was about me. Remember the crossing of the Exodus? It was about me. The whole thing was a testimony that I was coming to die in your place. All the prophets, the Psalms, the law, they were all about me. And then it says that their hearts started burning. You can read the story. It's fantastic. Started burning because they started understanding. Then they ran back to the rest of the disciples, and Jesus met them there too. And he gave the same speech to the rest of the disciples in verse 44. And he said, all the things that were written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds that they could understand scripture. It was all a plan, Jesus said. It was a plan, and I fulfilled it. So put these glasses on and trust me, even when you don't understand, because heaven has a plan to redeem. And you know, when I was going through hard times in my life, I had a motto. I don't know the master plan, but I know the master planned it, and I am included. So trust God to guide you. Even when you don't understand, like the song says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, because he has a plan to redeem you, and he fulfilled the plan. He has saved you. So when you don't understand what's happening in your life, remember this. You're being guided. You are guided. So trust him. Put on those spiritual glasses and say, I'm going to trust my Savior who has the big plan and has fulfilled it. You are guided.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for that inspiring message.
Amen. And we're so glad you were able to join us this morning. If you would like to learn more about our program or share with a friend or even watch or rewatch a segment or an entire program, you can go to hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget that tomorrow morning we'll be right here waiting for you again. Living in the Kitchen will be back. We will have music by Laura Morena, an inspiring devotional thought, and so much more. We hope to see you then. Plus, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study and you will receive free Bible study guides to help you along in your journey with Jesus.
Amen. Well, friends, that's it for today. But before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. It's the way we love to end our program with you every day. This comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 15.
And it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen. You know, we are his children, friends, and he has adopted us. You know, that's a powerful and awesome promise.
Yes, it is. Praise the Lord.
Dear Father in heaven, today we are so thankful. It's comforting to be able to address you as our Father. We are your children. And today, Lord, we ask that you would put your strong arms around us and carry us through this day, Lord. Fill our hearts with hope. Thank you that you are our Father. In you we trust. In Jesus' name, amen.